Well, as I mentioned earlier, we have, this is Garrett's last Sunday with us as the youth pastor of this church. He's grown up here. He picked up the mantle here when we moved here. Just shy, next week will be 5 years that Michelle and I came here. We came at COVID, if you're new to this church. We were elected to this church March 8th, 2020. So if some of you do the math, it was March 13th that everything was shut down. And that was the first thing that we did, was shut down the church. And Garrett picked up the reins of the church, of the youth ministry here, about 6 months into that time, and has been doing a great job. And God has been working in and through his life, and God's got some exciting things for him and for his wife-to-be, Christina, who's here with us. And so we're going to have him speak this morning. Will you just please greet Garrett Metz?
All right, we're here. Come on, everybody. Oh, it's surreal. As I've been praying about this moment, I don't want today to be about me, although it is a transitional period for me and my future family to be. Man, this is a moment for you guys. And so my goal is to leave you with a blessing that will encourage you. When I stepped on staff six years ago in different various formats, I interned here. I went to camp, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the youth pastor, Brandon Wade, was like, there's something different about you. You have a calling on your life, and you need to step into that. And so if you asked me if I thought I'd be here, absolutely not. This is just the Lord. And we're going to talk a little bit about today, about the promises that God has on your life. And so if you're a note taker, my message is going to be little by little, taking the promises of God. And we're going to be putting faith into action today. But because this is such a transitional period, anytime somebody transitions out of staff, there are roles that need to be picked up. There is new direction and new vision. And that burden is for you guys to pick up the mantle and to support the mission and vision of the church. Man, the last 6 years have been phenomenal. You know why? Because we have phenomenal lead pastors and Pastor Sheldon and Michelle. And I know, like, through their leadership and what the Lord's doing, you guys aren't gonna skip a beat. You guys aren't gonna miss what God has for you, but we wanna set it up the best we can. Can we do this? Can we honor Pastor Sheldon and Michelle and their leadership? I'm telling you, there are very few places across the United States where we get such phenomenal leadership, such a heart for the next generation in Pastor Sheldon and Michelle. And so it's a beautiful thing. A couple things you need to know about me as we get into today. I got 30 minutes with you. Okay, I got to speak quick. I love the talk back. I don't want to, like, don't raise your hand and ask questions. But if I'm saying something and you're like, that's resonating with me, I like that. Yep, I agree. You can talk back. Okay, it's okay. We're gonna have fun this morning. A little, yeah, that's so good. Amen. Say it again. Yeah, a couple hands. I saw hands shoot up. You get it. We're ready to roll. So this morning, we're gonna be looking at the life of Joshua. God has given each and every single one of us promises for our life. But this promise doesn't come easy. It is taken through battles and trials. It helps us develop trust and dependency on God. By looking at the life of Joshua and his journey and taking the promised land, we can learn how to inherit God's best for our lives little by little. I started out January trying to read through the Bible in a month, the entirety of the Bible. Now, the purpose of this isn't to just complete the Bible, but it's to get a large picture of what God is doing through the entirety of Scripture in a way that you wouldn't get reading verse by verse. And so it's quite a lengthy task, but as it started, you start in Genesis and then you get to Exodus and you're starting through the Old Testament, and God does this incredible work in the lives of the Israelites. Genesis is the setup to Exodus. It is the family history, the family tree, all the information you need to know about how the Israelites got here to start in Exodus, right? And so that's where we pick up in Exodus, is God freeing the Israelites from captivity in Egypt. How many of you remember what your Egypt was defined by? Right? The thing that held us down, right? And here's the reality. If you've been a follower of Jesus, God maybe saved you from an addiction or God saved you from sin, but like in reality, God saved you from your stupid self, right? Like all the decisions you made, like God showed up in your goofiness and said, listen, I'm gonna take you out of this, right? And man, I just feel it. Like God is a God that is saying, I am a God that can take you out of places. Amen. Like in our life, we have been taken out of sin and addiction. He is a God that says, I will take you through the Red Sea. I will get you out of Egypt. Right? Pharaoh says, hey, you're a slave. But God says, you are my son and my daughter, and I'm going to take you out of your Egypt. And so that's the God we're worshiping this morning. Right? And here's a beautiful thing. He's a God that takes us out of places. He is also a God that takes us into our promise. And I love this concept before we go any deeper, is that God fills what he forms, right? You and I, we get taken out of captivity, we get taken out of darkness, but we're stuck in the middle because we have not yet walked into our future, and we're frustrated because we're no longer in what has held us captive for a minute, but we are still waiting on the Lord to bring us into the thing that God wants to take us into. He's not just a God that takes us out, but he's a God that puts us in. From the beginning of Scripture, even in Genesis, right? Check this out. Before God ever creates the birds, what does he do? He creates the sky. Before God ever creates the fish, what does he do? He creates the ocean. What does God do before he ever creates the animals? He creates the land. God forms before he fills. And so in this transition period, the reason God is moving you into something new is because he has prepared a place for this church to go. He has already formed it. Before the Israelites ever stepped out of Egypt, he made Canaan. Right? And so wherever this church is headed is going to be beautiful, but God has already formed something for this church to achieve. God has already formed something for you to step into. And man, it's going to be beautiful. Exodus chapter 23, verse 23. God is talking to Moses and he says, see, I am sending an angel before you to protect you on your journey and lead you safely to the place I have prepared for you. God is working in your life. He is doing something that you cannot discern yet, but he is a God who prepares things behind the scenes for you. And it's good. The future is gonna be good. And I think about it like this, okay? If you look at the story of the Israelites, there's a moment in Scripture where they send 10 spies into the promised land. They're scouting ahead to what God has made. God's called it the promised land. He's formed it. It is good. It is a beautiful thing. And 8 of the 10 spies come back and they go, listen, in the promised land, in this place, God, that you have told us you were taking us, there are giants. There are these things ahead of us that, man, I don't think that we can take them. And in Scripture literally says that the spies were like, we are grasshoppers to them, right? Grasshoppers, the only thing that they're good for is being annoying in the middle of summer at this point. That's how little they thought of themselves. And I think if we're going to take the promised land, you can't be surprised that there's going to be giants. In Exodus chapter 23, verses 29 and 30, it says this. God is talking. He says, I will not drive them out in a single year because the land would become desolate and the wild animals would multiply and threaten you. I will drive them out little at a time until your population has increased enough to take possession of the land. These two phrases in here reveal the two processes of God's promises. If you're taking notes, it's two phrases reveal two processes of God's promise. The first one is that God never moves at your speed. Our speed rushes to the result, to the end product. Our goal is to reach a result every time. But God's course develops our character. And if you want to enter the promised land, if you want to enter Canaan, if you want what God has for you, you cannot enter Canaan as long as you think that Canaan won't be a burden. If you are waiting for God just to give you the promise and hand it over, you will never enter the promised land, because oftentimes God gift wraps blessing in a burden. Here's the reality. He doesn't place things in your hand. He places them in your reach. And you're going to have to make the decision to get up and chase it, right? You're going to have to make the decision to put in the effort, to work, to start carrying the burden that God has placed on your heart, right? We want God to just give us some things. And I think God's going like, no, I'm trying to develop you. I'm trying to build you into what I want you to be. And so you might have to put in the effort. You know what that looks like? Getting up a little bit early and shoveling the sidewalk for your wife so she can get into the car, right? You have to do these things because it develops character in you, right? When we serve other people and we put the burden on us, there's a piece of scripture. Moses is leading the Israelites out of Egypt, and he's like, God, I don't want this. I don't want to do this anymore. This is dumb. I didn't ask for this. I'd rather die. And God goes, all right, Moses, here's what I need you to do. I need you to go grab the leaders, the influencers, the elders, the people who are leading in your group. I need you to bring them to me. I need you to have them sit outside the tent of meeting where God's presence was, and you're going to come in here. And I'm gonna take the power that was on you and I'm gonna put it on these individuals so that they can lift the burdens of the people. If we're a life-giving follower of Jesus, our role is to lift burdens, is what we do. We show up each and every single day and live in a way that we lift the burdens of people. And so if we step into the God's promise, it's going to be full of burden. The other thing is that God will never leave you where you started. You have to grow into the promise. You often hear it said, like, God equips the called. It's so true. What if in this season of life, God is preparing you for the things he has for you, and he wants to develop you and grow you. But if you inherit the promise right away, it would destroy you. You don't have the capacity to carry the promise right now. If he gave it to you, you would regret it. You would be angry. You would be like Moses, where you're like, I didn't ask for this. I don't want to do this. If God gave you the influence and the finances and he just let you do whatever you wanted to do, it would hurt you more than it would help you. And you would be tired of the calling. You would be tired of the promise. It would no longer be a blessing to you. And what happens is we live in a culture where we want flashy, we want easy, we want fast results. I love food, okay? I don't know if you can tell. God. Can I tell you, I was heartbroken when that Wendy's closed down. And I've never been more excited since when that Wendy's opened up, praise God, amen, right? And so I had to go try out this Wendy's, and I pulled up into the drive-thru, and it was like 8 cars long. And I was so angry. I'm like, I'm trying to get my French fries. I'm trying to get the chocolate frosty. I'm trying to dip the French fry in the chocolate frosty. Praise God. And I remember being so angry, right? Because it's Wendy's. It's fast food. It's supposed to be fast. I shouldn't have to wait in the drive-thru for 20 minutes to get some ice cream and some French fries. Our fast food culture has given us a fast food faith. Right? We want the promises of God. We want the fruit of what God has for us, but we don't want to do the fighting for it. And so we just sit here and be like, God, if you just give me everything I ever wanted, like, God, if you just let me win that lottery, like, I promise I'll tithe on it. Right? Like, and that's a real prayer. I just go, man, the God who has promises for you, who has laid this beautiful story out over generations and generations. Moses doesn't even see the promised land, but God's still faithful and he still brings the Israelites to the promised land. And like, are we okay with putting in the work so that other people can see the promised land before us? Like, what would that look like in our life if we just stopped trying to inherit everything for ourselves and said, Lord, I'm just going to be faithful with where I'm at, and I'm going to start leading and living in a way that isn't fast food faith, but I'm going to start to walk in the promises of God in the little things. And I may never see the promised land. I may never see that person that I started witnessing to come to know Jesus, but somebody else might bring them into the promised land. And it's a beautiful thing. But here's the reality. If you want to walk into the promises that God has for your life, it is not the big moments, right? We have a really easy time following God with really big things. Like, thou shall not murder. That's an easy one for me. Check. We're good. I'm following the Lord. Amen. Right, but it's like, have you read your Bible today? Have you spent time in prayer? When's the last time that you took your impact out and you went and you reached your friend for Jesus? Like, when's the last time that God has broken your heart for an individual in your city and said, you know what, I want to see them come to know Jesus? Right, how are we being faithful in the little moments that God has prompted us with? And I just go, why would God give you a promise that is that big if you won't handle the small things? Can we quit looking to fix our relationship with God overnight and just start following him? Right? Like, every moment is this big emotional moment where, like, we mess up and we're like, God's angry, and then we run away and we try to hide like he doesn't already know he loves us. What if it wasn't so big and we just said, all right, God, like, I'm just coming back to you. I'm going to follow you again. And I'm going to start being obedient in the little things. And I'm going to start paying attention to what you have for me. And Joshua inherits this promise from God. And I think if you follow him little by little, he will grow you into his promise. If you look at Joshua 1, verses 1 through 3, this is where we see Joshua about to step into the promise, right? He's prepared himself and God's ready. And it says, after the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. If you want to walk into God's promise, you have to cross the Jordan. In Joshua chapter 3, verse 11 through 17, God is calling Joshua to get ready. So God gives Joshua the promise. Joshua has started to get ready, right? He started to tell everybody, here's what God said. We're going to step into the Jordan. God's called us to cross it. And we're just going to check on verse 17 here in a second. But I'm going to give you some context. Roughly, the Jordan is 100 feet wide. It's about 5 to 10 feet deep. And at this point in its flood season, it's overflowing. And so the Jordan is physically keeping them from the promises of God. The promised land is on the other shore. We can see it. There's just this river in the way. Can I ask you a question? What is your Jordan River? What is the thing in your life that is keeping you from inheriting the promises of God? Maybe it's self-reliance. Maybe you want to step into what God has for you, but you're the one who needs to be in control all the time, and you've had a hard time surrendering to God. Maybe it's your comfort zone. You just like being comfortable. You don't want to take a leap. And maybe it's fear and doubt. You're just here going, listen, God, I don't know what's on the other side of that river. There's some giants over there, and I can't swim. Like, I still need the floaties to get in the pool, and that's a river, and I just, God, I don't know if I can do this. Some of you need to know about me. I hate traveling, okay? It's not for the reason you think, though. I kid you not. This is so dumb. I'm cool with, like, the plane situation. That's all right with me. I'm cool with planes. The thing that gets me is the airport. And it's not even like TSA and like getting to the places you need to go. Can I tell you, this is embarrassing, okay? I have a really big issue with escalators. Like, and it's not like, ah, escalator. Ugh. No, it's not like that, okay? If I have luggage and then like I walk up to the escalator and like it's, okay, we're going down, right? And I'm like, okay, here we go. How do I step? And then I gotta bring my luggage with me. And like, I'm afraid of falling off the escalator. I'm gonna be the dude on the security camera just tumbling down the escalator. Yeah. Praise God, right? And it's just one of those things where I'm like, ugh. Like, I'm gonna end up on America's Funniest Home Videos or whatever, right? But if we're being real, our faith is like that, right? Like, God's got something for us. And we're like, God, I'm trying to figure out how to take the right step, and I don't know what's next, and I'm afraid. And like, what if what I'm trying to bring with me, I can't take with me? And we're just afraid to take the leap. We're just afraid to take the next step. And then here's the thing. When you go to take that step, there is a split second where you're not sure how you're going to land. Right? That's the scary thing about following the Lord little by little, is that as you take steps, you don't know how you are gonna land. But my question is, are you ready to cross the Jordan? Because God calls the Israelites to step into what was impossible and provides the promise. When you take a step of faith, knowing that God is already in the future, He is already in the next step, we take steps because we know He's there, Chad. Like, that's what we do, church. And so I want to point this out because this is the thing that I love about the Lord. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, right? Verse 3, he says this: I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. Right, one step, little by little, even it feels like a leap, God is trustworthy and faithful in His promises. Verse 17, this is what God says. You ready? Just verse 17. He says, meanwhile, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Lord's covenant stood on dry ground in the middle of the riverbed as the people passed by. They waited there until the whole nation of Israel had crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Church, He's faithful. He's a God who can turn water into dry land when you need to cross the thing that's in front of you. And listen, the Ark of the Covenant would go with the people everywhere because it's where God's presence was in the Old Testament. And so literally, the priest carried the presence of God into the river and people crossed on dry ground. If you take the presence of God into your Jordan River, oh, you'll cross on dry ground, church. Because He's a God that fulfills some promises. He said, I'll give you land even where there is no land. Man, like, that's the faithfulness of God. It's so beautiful. Don't mistake it. God fulfills the promise. He's the hero. We get so caught up in crossing the Jordan that we forget to pause to remember His hand on it. Yeah, you took a step. That's cool. God parted some water, and He made dry ground in front of you. It's so beautiful that the Lord is so faithful as you cross the thing that is keeping you from Him, that He would put dry ground in front of you. And as I get ready to close here in just a minute, I want to encourage you with a couple more things. In Joshua chapter 4, all the people have crossed the Jordan River. And the Lord tells Joshua to get 12 men, one from each tribe. And He says, tell them, take 12 stones from the very place where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan. Carry them out and pile them up at the place where you will camp tonight. So Joshua called together the 12 men he had chosen, one from each of the tribes of Israel. He told them, go into the middle of the Jordan in front of the Ark of the Lord your God. Each of you must pick up one stone and carry it out on your shoulder. 12 stones in all, one for each of the 12 tribes of Israel. we will use these stones to build a memorial. In the future, your children will ask you, what do these stones mean? Then you can tell them, they remind us that the Jordan River stopped flowing when the Ark of the Lord's Covenant went across. These stones will stand as a memorial among the people of Israel forever. Can I encourage you that the stones aren't for you? If you read that, they didn't build it for the people that were there. The stones, they're for the children. Can I submit to you that your obedience today isn't just about you? The little steps of faith that you are taking are not about you, but are in fact about generations that will come, generations that will hear the stories of the faithfulness of God and go, listen, because God did that in your life, maybe he can do that in my life too. Have we ever paused to think that maybe you're not the hero of the story? That when we read scripture, we're not main characters? Like, we're not David in David and Goliath. If you're familiar with David and Goliath, right, we can preach it like, man, I'm David, and if I just have enough faith, God will conquer my, like, I can just go slay a giant. Sure. More often than not, though, you are not David. You are the Israelites on the hillside, freaking out because there's a giant in the valley that you're not strong enough to take on. And here comes Jesus into the valley fighting your giant, and he takes the victory. The stones aren't for you. They're for your kids to hear about the faithfulness and the goodness of God in your life, so that they can hear it, remember it, and go, man, if God did that for them, he can do it for me. The story of Joshua is so beautiful. Your small steps are setting up someone else's story. Have you paused to think that the way you cross your Jordan may be how someone comes to know Jesus? I love it. We're not Joshua. We're not the strong leader stepping into the river, leading the people to move forward. That's not who we are. Not in this story. We're the Israelites the entire way. Man, I want to go back to Egypt. Hey, we have food there. It was good. At least we knew what to expect. We've been running around this wilderness for a long time, and we're just eating bread. All we got is manna. Like, what are we doing? And now we see the promised land ahead of us, and there's giants. And there's wild animals. What am I supposed to do about this? We're not Joshua. The story of Joshua is that God, despite all of Israel's goofiness, still decided to show up and deliver him out of Egypt and into the promise that God had for his people. You want to know how God delivered his promise for you? Through Jesus. Your story is not how good you are, how awesome and spiritual and all the daily rhythms you do. God showed up while you were in Egypt. He pulled you out of darkness, and he's bringing you into his promise through the death and resurrection of his son Jesus. And you know what? Because of your story, if God has done it before, he will do it again. And what if as a church, we quit trying to be the hero for a second and just started pointing people to Jesus and said, God did it here and he'll do it again. Come on, it'll preach every single time. Your past obedience empowers someone's future victory. Would you bow your heads? The decision you were about to make isn't just for you. It's for the generations of your family to come. I love this, and I'm just gonna throw it out there because it's been weighing on my heart. Jesus is in every part of scripture. You can read him into every piece of scripture, okay? Jonah and the whale, right? In Jonah and the whale, we preach it as Jonah is this dude that as long as you follow what God has for you, don't run from the Lord. Right, we need to do what we need to do. Jonah and the whale. You're not Jonah, you're Nineveh. You are the city that's full of depravity and goofiness and sin and destructiveness. But God loved you so much that he brought a messenger who didn't want to be there. He brought a messenger to you so that you could hear the good news. And because somebody sent a messenger for you, you should go be a messenger to somebody else and bring the good news with you. That's the next season for you. What Pastor Sheldon talked about, casting vision for believe, we're believing that more people are going to come to know Jesus. More baptisms are going to happen. More baptisms in the Holy Spirit are going to happen. But it's not because you are the hero. It's because God has shown up in your life. And you know what? You have to bring that gospel to somebody else. It's the mandate. Pastor Sheldon talked about it today. That's your role as the church, to bring the gospel of Jesus to everyone across the globe. You want to know what's next? Bring the gospel to somebody. Because it's not just about you. It's about the future generations of the church. It's about people hearing the good news, finding freedom, finding healing, and just people being set free from their darkness. And so that decision, sorry, I got really passionate. That decision is happening right now in this room. There is somebody for the first time in this room who wants to make the decision to follow Jesus. With every head bowed, if you're like, Garrett, listen, I've been the Israelites. I've been grumbling and complaining. I've been Nineveh. I'm stuck in my darkness. And the Lord has sent a messenger, and I'm ready to listen to the gospel. If that's you, don't have to raise them super high. Nobody's looking around. We're doing this as a family. If that's you, would you just raise your hand? Because I want to pray for you. If you're like, Garrett, I'm in my darkness, and I just need Jesus. Okay. See some hands. We're gonna pray, and I'm gonna ask Pastor Sheldon to come up and close. Lord, I thank you that you're the hero of the story. Lord, I thank you for every person that's raised their hand. Lord, you are a God that takes us out and puts us into promise. And so, Lord, right now, would you take us out of our sin, out of our brokenness, out of our darkness? Lord, and would you bring us into the light? Lord, we need you to be our Lord and Savior. We're like the Israelites standing on the hill looking at our giant going, God, I don't know if I can do this. We're looking at the Jordan River. God, I don't know if I can take the leap of faith. But Lord, when you show up on the scene, everything changes. And so Lord, would you step into my heart? Lord, would you begin to create in me a new heart so that I can look more like your son, Jesus. Lord, we surrender all the big things, all the little things to you. Lord, have your way in our life. Lord, we don't want to be stuck in Egypt any longer. Lord, but we want to step into the promised land. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Can we just celebrate that one time?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Garrett. Because our vision for the church is to be a life-giving church that is impacting the next generation of the 715. And Gary, you've been an integral part of that. And because of your obedience, as you talked with us, a generation has been impacted. If you can just give us a few moments here, we'd like to just kind of have some students tell their story via video. Will you just watch this, Gary?
Faithful.
Caring.
Loving.
Silly.
Awesome.
Energetic.
Funny. He's just a really good person, so I guess kind.
He's a nerd like me.
Very encouraging.
Bold. Best youth pastor in the world.
Amazing talent.
Funny.
Encouraging.
Loving.
Caring.
I just wish you guys well. This is a big change for you guys, a big change for us students, and I just pray for you guys and that it goes well.
I hope you do well on this journey of transforming out of ministry.
I love you guys. I'm proud of you guys. You have helped me through so much. And I just wish you all the best. I wish you best on your wedding. And yeah.
Go where the Lord takes you.
Your time off will just be good.
I hope you two enjoy your time off and God leads you to where you're going to go next in life.
Hope that you have
a good time with your family.
Pickles.
I wish the best of luck for them.
So we have a young man who you know, Zach Denzine, and Garrett, you've been mentoring this young man and pouring in this young man for quite a while, and so we just asked Zach if you just come up and share some thoughts with us.
Okay. Yeah, it's crazy to hear, you know, this sermon about reaching the next generation, and I mean, like few, I've gotten the honor to not only be under you as a student and learn from you, but also then can take that next step in learning from you as an adult, being in your life. I don't got a lot of time, I can't waste it, I'm crying. so much so that, I mean, I don't know, publicly, like, I'm your best man at your wedding, vice versa here. And I just know that, to make it short and sweet, there's people out there that need Garrett, and like, you've been awesome in my life. And I know, you know, in the time of transition, it's hard to say goodbye, but I know that, you know, throughout the time, that there's always going to be times where, like, you'll still be there. So it's awesome to have that person who's not just my Sunday and my Wednesday help, but you're my everyday help. And I love you, man.
So Garrett, I've been saying to you since day one, when you came in from the intern, and I'm like, hey, you want to take these keys and see where we can run with it?
Yeah.
And you took the keys and you ran, and I have told you, and I've told so many people the potential that you have, and I think that there's still a big chunk that potential that is still yet to be discovered. And I just love your passion for teenagers. More importantly, I love your passion for Jesus and how you love to share Jesus with so many people. So thank you for your impact.
Yeah. I got to share this because I was praying about this. And it's hard because you build something for 6 years. And you're like, all right, we got to let it go now. We have to be open-handed with this for the Lord. And I just felt the Lord drop it in my spirit. It was like, this is not the end. It's a foundation.
Absolutely.
And so everybody's asking questions about what's next. You guys have a wonderful youth team here of volunteers and leaders. And this is just the foundation for God to do some incredible things under the leadership of Pastor Sheldon and Michelle and your youth leaders and the staff at this church. Man, it is a setup for God to do incredible
Absolutely.
Things he has not done.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Can I ask your beautiful fiance if she would come up here and join us? She loves being put on the spot, especially unannounced. Can we just extend our hands towards this couple? In Jesus' name, Lord, I just pray for Garrett and Christina. And Lord, I just thank you for the impact that he has had on the ministry of our young people in this church, not only in this church, but in the 715. And God, we just pray, Lord, that this would just be a launch into that next level. God, that all of that potential that you have placed in him would just come out abundantly, Father. So I pray your favor. I pray your blessings, and most of all, I pray your anointing all over his life, their marriage, their home, their ministry, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Now you can give them applause.